Welcome to another in a series of sound ideas from Simon & Schuster. Since it was first published in 1952, The Power of Positive Thinking by Dr. Norman Vincent Peale has continued to be an inspirational bestseller. Through its vivid demonstrations of the power of faith, it has helped millions of men and women find a workable method for achieving happiness and success. Our cassette will begin with a greeting from Dr. Peale himself, who will tell you why he wrote the book and why he hopes it can make a difference in your life. Then, in order to convey the essence of his work, our program is presented in three chapters, with Dr. Peale reading from selected passages. At the end of each chapter, you'll find a formula or a list of exercises. These are designed to help you develop your own powers of positive thinking by practicing the ideas contained in the book. Now let us begin. Here is Dr. Norman Vincent Peale.
At the time that I wrote The Power of Positive Thinking, it never occurred to me that several million copies should be sold. I'm grateful for this event, not because so many books were sold, but because I've been privileged to suggest a simple, workable philosophy of living to so many people. The dynamic laws which my book teaches were learned the hard way by trial and error in my personal search for a way of life. I found in these laws solutions to my problems, and believe me, I'm the most difficult person with whom I have ever worked. As I realized the power of this experience, I wanted to share it, hoping it might be of help to others. I wrote the book out of deep concern for the pain and struggle of human existence. It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind, not as an escape from life, but as a power center out of which comes driving energy for constructive personal and social living. It teaches positive thinking, not as a means to fame, riches, or power, but as a practical way to use faith to overcome defeat and accomplish worthwhile goals. The examples and techniques that I present show that you don't have to be defeated by anything, that you can have peace of mind, improved health, and a never-ceasing flow of energy. In short, that your life can be full of joy and happiness. In formulating this simple philosophy of life, I found my answers in the teachings of Jesus Christ, the greatest teacher who ever lived, and who still lives. The way of life to which this book is a witness is very wonderful. It is not easy. Indeed, it is often hard. But it is full of joy and hope and victory. If you take these principles to heart, you will soon find within yourself the power to achieve your desires.
Chapter 1. Believe in yourself.
To anyone who is looking for success or happiness, I say, believe in yourself. Have faith in your abilities. If you want a life that is full of joy and achievement, you must have confidence in your own powers. When I look around, I find it appalling to realize how many people are handicapped by the malady we call the inferiority complex. Lack of self-confidence is indeed one of the greatest personal problems besetting people today. Everywhere you encounter individuals who doubt their own powers, who shrink from life, who suffer from a deep sense of inadequacy and insecurity, who feel defeated and afraid. The sad thing is, in most cases, such frustration of power is unnecessary. Let me tell you a story. Several years ago, after speaking to a business convention, a very intense man approached me about a matter of desperate importance to him. We went backstage to sit down, and he explained, "I'm in town to handle the most important business deal of my life. If I succeed, it means everything for me. If I fail, I'm done for." I suggested that he relax it a little, that nothing was quite that final. If he succeeded, that was fine. If he didn't, well, tomorrow was another day. But I have no confidence in myself, he admitted. In fact, I feel I'm just about sunk. Here I am, 40 years old. Why is it that all my life I've been tormented by inferiority feelings, by lack of confidence, by self-doubt? I listened to your speech tonight where you talked about the power of positive thinking, and I want to know how I can get some faith in myself. After listening to this man's all-too-familiar plea, I told him there are two steps to take. First, you have to find out why you feel you have no power. That requires analysis and will take time. But to pull you through this immediate problem, I shall give you a formula. As you walk down the street tonight, I suggest that you repeat certain words that I shall give you. Say them over several times after you get into bed. When you awaken tomorrow, repeat them three times before rising. On the way to your important appointment, say them three additional times. Do this with an attitude of faith, and you will receive sufficient strength and ability to deal with this problem. Following is the affirmation which I gave him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I watched him square his shoulders and walk out into the night. He seemed a pathetic figure, and yet the way he carried himself as he disappeared showed that faith was already at work in his mind. Sometime later, he told me that this simple formula did wonders for him and added, "It seems incredible that a few words from the Bible could do so much for a person." In time, as this man learned how to have faith, he gradually attained a strong, steady, reasonable self-confidence. Things now flow toward him rather than away from him. His personality has taken on a positive character so that he no longer repels success, but on the contrary, draws it to him. He now has authentic confidence in his own powers. The greatest secret for eliminating the inferiority complex, which is another term for deep and profound self-doubt, is to fill your mind to overflowing with faith. Develop a tremendous faith in God, and that will give you a humble yet soundly realistic faith in yourself. But how, you may ask, do I acquire this dynamic faith? Well, the answer begins with the study of the Scriptures and the use of prayer, lots of prayer. The Scriptures say, according to your faith, be it unto you. So the bigger your problem, the bigger your prayers should be.
In Chapter 2, you'll learn more about the power of prayer and specific techniques that will help you pray effectively for what you need.
Along with prayer and study of the Scriptures, another very effective way to build self-confidence is by suggesting confidence concepts to yourself. If your mind is obsessed by thoughts of insecurity and inadequacy, that is, of course, because such thoughts have dominated your thinking over a long period of time. You must give your mind a different and more positive thought pattern, and that is accomplished by the repetition of confident ideas. You see, feelings of confidence depend upon the type of thoughts that habitually occupy your mind. If you constantly fix your attention upon dire events that might happen, you will constantly feel insecure. And what is even more serious is the tendency to create, by the power of thought, the very condition you fear. Once when Stonewall Jackson planned a daring attack, one of his generals fearfully objected, saying, "I'm afraid of this," or "I fear that." Finally, Jackson put his hand on this doubting subordinate's shoulder and said, "General, never take counsel of your fears. It has been said that thoughts are things, that they actually possess dynamic power. Well, I've seen over and over again how people can truly think themselves into or out of situations. You can make yourself ill with your thoughts, and by the same token, you can make yourself well by the use of a different and healing type of thought. As William James, the eminent psychologist, put it, the greatest discovery of my generation is that human beings can alter their lives by altering their attitudes of mind. Or as Ralph Waldo Emerson declared, a man is what he thinks about all day long. The fact is, as you think, so shall you be. If confidence and happiness are what you want, flush out all your old, tired, worn-out thoughts. Fill your mind with fresh, new, creative thoughts of faith, love, and goodness. One of the most powerful cures for self-doubt is the thought that Almighty God is actually with you and helping you, that He will be your companion and will stand by you, help you, and see you through all adversity. To practice this belief, simply affirm, God is with me. God is helping me. God is guiding me. Spend several minutes each day visualizing His presence. Then practice believing that affirmation. Go about your business on the assumption that what you have affirmed and visualized is true. The release of power and confidence which this procedure stimulates will astonish you. Now, in the same way that you can think your way to confidence, so it is with happiness itself. I once met an old man who absolutely bubbled over with radiant happiness. When I asked him his secret, he said, "Why, it's just as plain as the nose on your face. When I get up in the morning, I realize I have two choices, either to be happy or unhappy. And what do you think I do? I'm not dumb. I just choose to be happy." And that's all there is to it. Now, that may seem a superficial response, but I recall that Abraham Lincoln, who nobody could accuse of being superficial, said that people were just about as happy as they made up their minds to be. Of course, not all unhappiness is self-created. Social conditions are responsible for more than a few of our problems. But the truth is, many of us actually manufacture our own unhappiness simply by thinking unhappy thoughts. We do this, for example, when we habitually take on negative attitudes, such as everything is going to turn out badly, or other people are always getting what they don't deserve, or how come I never get what I want? Unhappiness is further increased when we saturate our minds with resentment, hate, fear, and worry. Well then, if we ourselves create such a large proportion of our unhappiness, how can we produce happiness instead? The happiness habit is developed simply by practicing happy thinking. Make a mental list of pleasant thoughts and pass them through your mind several times each day. If an unpleasant thought should enter your mind, immediately stop, consciously reject it, and substitute a pleasant thought. Every morning before rising, lie relaxed in bed for a few minutes. Let pictures of each happy experience you expect to have during the day pass across your mind. Savor their joy. Such thoughts will help cause events to turn out that way. Tomorrow when you arise, say out loud this one phrase: "This is the day which the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Repeated three times in a strong, clear voice and with positive tone and emphasis. The statement, of course, is from the Bible, and it is a good cure for unhappiness. While dressing or shaving or getting breakfast, you might also say aloud a few such remarks as, I believe this is going to be a wonderful day. I believe I can successfully handle all the problems that will arise. I feel good physically, mentally, emotionally. I am grateful for all that I have had, for all that I now have, and all that I shall have. Things are not going to fall apart. God is here, and He is with me, and He will see me through. I thank God for every good thing. If you repeat these kinds of phrases and meditate on their meaning, you will change the character of your day by starting off with a positive frame of mind. And yet I must add, it is not enough to practice even such important techniques as I have suggested unless throughout the day you also base your actions upon fundamental principles of happy living. One of the most simple and basic of such principles is that of human love and goodwill. As Tolstoy said, where love is, God is. And we might add, where God and love are, there is happiness. So a practical principle in creating happiness is to practice love. A friend of mine carries a unique business card. On the reverse side is written the philosophy which has brought great happiness to him and success as well. The card reads, "The way to happiness, keep your heart free from hate, your mind from worry, live simply, expect little, give much. Fill your life with love, scatter sunshine, forget self, think of others. Do as you would be done by. Try this for a week, and you will be surprised."
To help you build up your self-confidence now, here is a list of six rules to follow. 1. Create a mental picture of yourself succeeding. Hold on to this picture tenaciously. Never permit it to fade. Your mind always tries to complete what it pictures, so always picture success, no matter how badly things seem to be going at the moment. Whenever a negative thought concerning your personal powers come to mind, deliberately voice a positive thought to cancel it out. 2. Do not build up obstacles in your imagination. Minimize them instead. Problems should be seen for what they are and never inflated by fearful thoughts. 3. Do not be awestruck by other people or try to copy them. Remember that most people, despite a confident appearance, are often as scared and as doubtful of themselves as you are. 4. Get a competent counselor to help you understand the origin of your inferiority or self-doubt feelings. These often begin in childhood. Self-knowledge leads to a cure. 5. 10 times each day, practice the following affirmation, repeating it out loud if possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That magic statement is the most powerful antidote on earth to inferiority feelings. 6. Put yourself in God's hands. To do that, simply state, I am in God's hands. Then believe you are now receiving all the power you need. Affirm that the kingdom of God is within you in the form of adequate power to meet all of life's demands. Remind yourself that God is with you and nothing can defeat Him. Chapter 2, A Peaceful Mind Generates Power.
How often have you found yourself complaining about how poorly you slept the night before, that you went to bed with an earful of trouble? Given the choice, wouldn't you rather fall asleep with a mind full of peace? The secret to a mind full of peace lies in your mental attitude. The life of strain is difficult. On the other hand, the life of inner peace, being harmonious and without stress, is the easiest type of existence. It is a life which accepts God's gift of peace and embraces the attitude of relaxed trust in Him. A physician I know says that many of his patients have nothing wrong with them except their thoughts. He has a favorite prescription for some of them, a verse from the Bible. It reads, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." He finds that when his patients change the pattern of their thoughts, they actually achieve a more peaceful state of mind, and that helps to produce health and well-being. The first technique I recommend for attaining a mind full of peace is to practice emptying the mind. I cannot emphasize enough the importance of a frequent mental catharsis, which means clearing the mind of fears, hates, insecurities, regrets, and guilt feelings. One effective method for doing this is a daily practice of silence. Remember what the great writer Thomas Carlyle said. Silence is the element in which great things fashion themselves together. Everyone should insist upon at least 15 minutes of absolute silence every day. Go alone into the most quiet place available and sit or lie down. Do not talk, do not write, do not read. Think as little as possible. Conceive of your mind as the surface of a body of water and see how nearly quiet you can make it so that there is not a ripple. When you have attained a quiescent state, then begin to listen for the deeper sounds of harmony and beauty and of God that are to be found in the essence of silence. At intervals during the day, practice thinking a carefully selected series of peaceful thoughts. Let mental pictures of the most peaceful scenes you have ever witnessed pass across your mind. You might, for example, see a beautiful valley filled with the hush of evening time as the shadows lengthen and the sun sinks behind the horizon. Or you could recall the silvery light of the moon falling upon rippling waters, or the sea washing gently upon soft shores of sand. Serene images like these will work upon your mind as a healing medicine. You might also practice the technique of repeating beautiful words out loud. Words have profound suggestive power, and there is healing in the very saying of them. Utter a series of panicky words, and your mind will immediately go into a mild state of nervousness. You will perhaps feel a sinking in the pit of your stomach that soon affects your entire body. If, on the contrary, you speak peaceful, quieting words, your mind will react in a peaceful manner. Use such words as tranquility. Repeat the word slowly several times. Tranquility is one of the most beautiful and melodic of all English words, and the mere saying of it tends to induce a tranquil state. It is also helpful to use lines from poetry when peaceful quotations are dropped into the subconscious. They lubricate the mind with peace. Here is one from a 16th century mystic. Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. Everything passes away except God. God alone is sufficient. There are other practical ways by which you can develop serenity and quiet attitudes. One way is through your conversation. Depending upon the words we use and the tone in which we use them, we can talk ourselves into being nervous, high-strung, and upset. But by our speech, we can also achieve quiet reactions. Talk peaceful, to be peaceful. You see, the words we speak have a direct and definite effect upon our thoughts. So in a group, when the conversation takes a trend that is upsetting, try injecting peaceful ideas into the talk. Note how it counteracts the nervous tensions. Conversation filled with expressions of unhappy expectation at breakfast, for example, often sets the tone of the entire day. On the other hand, if you start each day by affirming peaceful attitudes, your days will tend to be pleasant and successful.
This is the end of side one. Please turn the tape over now.
Of course, when you get right down to it, the most powerful means for attaining peace of mind is prayer and reading of the Bible. The words of the Bible have a particularly strong therapeutic value. Drop them into your mind, allowing them to dissolve in consciousness, and they will spread a healing balm over your entire mental structure. It is interesting to note that more and more experts in physical health are using prayer in their therapy. Illness, tension, and kindred troubles often result from a lack of inner harmony. But it is remarkable how prayer can restore the harmonious functioning of body and soul. It appears that even the aging process can be held in check by prayer. You need not lose your vital energy or become weak and listless just because of accumulating years, nor is it necessary for your spirit to sag or become dull. Prayer can freshen you up every evening and send you out renewed each morning. And if prayer is driven deeply into your subconscious, you can receive guidance in your problems. Prayer has the power to keep your reactions correct and sound. Another important way that prayer can enrich your life is by stimulating creative ideas. Within the mind are all of the resources needed for successful living. When they're released and properly employed, these ideas can lead to the successful operation of any project or undertaking. The New Testament says, the kingdom of God is within you, meaning that God has laid up within our minds and personalities all the potential powers and ability we need for constructive living. It remains for us to tap and develop these powers. If you have not experienced this power, perhaps you need to learn new techniques of prayer. One man I know who has a unique and creative mind worked out his own simple formula for overcoming his difficulties through prayer. It is a curious formula, but I have practiced it and personally know that it works. The formula is, first, prayerize. Second, picturize. Third, actualize. By prayerize, my friend meant a daily system of creative prayer. When a problem arose, he talked it over with God, very simply and directly. He did not talk with God as to some vast and far-off shadowy being, but he conceived of God as being with him, in his office, in his home, on a street, always as a partner, a close associate. He took seriously the biblical injunction to pray without ceasing. He took it to mean that he should discuss with God in a natural manner all the questions that had to be dealt with each day. God's presence finally came to dominate his conscious and ultimately his unconscious thinking. The second point of this formula of creative prayer is to picturize. As I've mentioned before, the man or woman who assumes success tends to already have success. People who assume failure tend to have failure. To assure something worthwhile happening, first pray about it and test it according to God's will. Then print a picture of it on your mind as happening and hold the picture firmly in your consciousness. Continue to surrender the picture to God's will. That is, put the matter in God's hand and follow his guidance. Work hard and intelligently, thus doing your part to actualize your prayer, the third part of this formula. Practice believing and continue to hold the picture firmly in your thoughts. Do this, and you will be astonished at the strange ways in which the image becomes a reality. You see, religious faith is not something piously stuffy, but is a scientific procedure for successful living. Personally, I believe that prayer is a sending out of vibrations from one person to another and to God. All of the universe is in vibration. There are vibrations in the molecules of a table. The air is filled with vibrations. The reaction between two human beings is also in vibration. When you send out a prayer for another person, you employ the force inherent in a spiritual universe. You transmit from yourself to the other person a sense of love, helpfulness, support, a sympathetic, powerful understanding. In this process, you awaken vibrations in the universe through which God brings to pass the good objectives you pray for. Experiment with this principle, and you will know its amazing results.
Millions of people find great power each day through prayer. Here are 10 rules for achieving effective results from your prayers. 1. Set aside a few minutes each day. Do not say anything, simply practice thinking about God. This will make your mind spiritually receptive. 2. Pray out loud using simple, natural words. Tell God anything that is on your mind. Talk to God in your own language. He understands it. 3. Pray as you go about the business of the day, on the subway or bus or at your desk. Utilize minute prayers by closing your eyes to shut out the world and concentrating briefly on God's presence. 4. Do not always ask when you pray, but instead affirm that God's blessings are being given and spend most of your prayers giving thanks. 5. Pray with the belief that sincere prayers can reach out and surround your loved ones with God's love and protection. 6. Never use a negative thought in prayer. Only positive thoughts get results. 7. Always express willingness to accept God's will. Ask for what you want, but be willing to take what God gives you. It may be better than what you ask for. 8. Practice the attitude of putting everything into God's hands. Ask for the ability to do your best and leave the results confidently to God. 9. Pray for people you do not like or who have mistreated you. Resentment is blockade number one to spiritual power. 10. Make a list of people for whom to pray. The more you pray for other people, especially those not connected with you, the more prayer results will come back to you. 3. Achieving your goals.
Several years ago, a concerned father came to me asking, "Why does my son fail in every job he gets?" It was indeed difficult to understand the failure of this young man, for he seemed to have everything. He was from a good family, he was very personable, and his educational and business opportunities were above average. Nevertheless, he had a tragic flair for failure. He tried hard enough, yet somehow he always missed success. Not long ago, I ran into this young man and was amazed at a transformation that had taken place. He was now a dynamic figure at the height of his powers. I asked him to explain the remarkable change. It was really quite simple, he told me. I merely learned the magic of believing. I discovered that if you expect the worst, you will get the worst, and if you expect the best, you will get the best. It all happened through actually practicing a verse from the Bible. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. When I heard those words, I had a flash of insight. I realized that the key I had missed was that my mind was not trained to believe, to think positively, to have faith in either God or myself. After I adopted that policy, things began to change for me almost at once. I got into the habit of expecting the best, not the worst. And that is the way my affairs have turned out lately. I guess it's a kind of a miracle, isn't it? I told my young friend that what had happened to him wasn't miraculous at all. Actually, he had learned to use one of the most powerful laws in the world, namely, change your mental habits to belief instead of disbelief. It was William James who said, "Our belief at the beginning of a doubtful undertaking is the one thing that ensures the successful outcome of the venture. When you expect the best, you release a magnetic force in your mind by a law of attraction. This force tends to bring the best to you." Things get better when you expect the best because when you are freed from self-doubt, you can put your whole self into a project. Nothing can stand in the way of the person who focuses his or her entire self on a problem. When the full concentration of all your forces, physical, emotional, and spiritual, is brought to bear, the consolidation of these powers at work is quite irresistible. So a major key to attaining that which you deeply desire is to be totally released from doubt so that you can throw yourself completely into your endeavor. In other words, whatever you're doing, give it all you've got. Hold nothing back. Life cannot deny itself to the person who gives life his all. Unfortunately, most people don't do that. In fact, very few people do. And this is the tragic cause of most failures. A famous trapeze artist was teaching his students how to perform on the high trapeze bar. When one student was called on to demonstrate, he looked up at the insecure perch and was suddenly filled with fear. He froze completely. He had a terrifying vision of himself falling to the ground. So deep was his fright, he couldn't move a muscle. The instructor put his arm around the boy's shoulder and said, "Son, you can do it, and I will tell you how." Then he made a statement which is one of the wisest remarks I have ever heard. He said, "Throw your heart over the bar, and your body will follow." copy that one sentence. Write it on your mind, you who really want to do something with your life. Heart is the symbol of creative activity. Fire your heart with where you want to go and what you want to be. Get it so deeply fixed in your unconscious that you will not take no for an answer. Then your entire personality will follow where your heart leads. If you throw your heart over the bar, your faith will allow you to swing up to any high place you want to take your life. Whenever you have a bar, that is to say a barrier in front of you, stop, close your eyes, visualize everything that is above the bar and nothing that is below it. Then, imaginatively, throw your heart over the bar and see yourself as being given lifting power to rise above it. Every day as you confront the problems of life, I suggest that you affirm as follows. I believe that God gives me power to attain what I really want. Never mention the worst. Never think of it. Drop it out of your consciousness. Faith supplies staying power. It contains the dynamic you need to keep going when the going is hard. Anybody can keep going when the going is good, but some extra ingredient is needed to enable you to keep fighting when it seems that everything is against you. I want to share with you a great insight to keep in mind when you're confronted by an obstacle. I learned this one day playing golf when I hit a ball into the rough, into some high grass. I said with some dismay to my partner, "Now just look at that. I'm in the rough with a bad lie, and it's certainly going to be tough getting out of here." But my friend grinned at me and said, "Didn't I read something about positive thinking in your books?" Sheepishly, I acknowledged that such was the case. "I wouldn't think so negatively about that lie of yours," he said. "Do you think you could get a good hit if this ball were lying out on the fairway on short grass?" I said, "Yes, I thought so." Then he did a rather whimsical thing. He asked me to notice the quality of the grass. "Chew it," he said. I chewed, and he asked, "Is it tender?" "Why, yes," I replied, "it certainly does seem to be tender grass." "Well," he continued, "an easy swing of your number 5 iron will cut through that grass almost like a knife." And then he gave me this sentence, which I'm going to remember as long as I live, and which I hope you will too. "The rough is only mental," he said. In other words, it is rough because you think it is. In your mind, you've decided that here's an obstacle which will cause you difficulty. But the power to overcome this obstacle is also in your mind. If you visualize yourself lifting that ball out of the rough, believing that you can do it, your mind will transfer flexibility, rhythm, and power to your muscles, and you will handle that club in such a manner that the ball will rise right out of there in a beautiful shot. All you need to do is keep your eye on that ball and tell yourself that you are going to lift it out with a beautiful stroke. Let the stiffness and tension go out of you. Hit it with exhilaration and power. Remember, the rough is only mental. To this day, I remember the thrill, the sense of power and delight I had in the clean shot that dropped the ball to the edge of the green. That is a very great fact to remember when you're faced with difficult problems. The rough is only mental. So if you want to change your circumstances, you must first start thinking differently. Form a picture in your mind of circumstances as they should be. Hold that picture. Develop it firmly in all details. Believe in it. Pray about it. Work at it. And you can make it become a reality. This is one of the greatest laws in the universe. Believe and succeed. I learned this law firsthand in a very interesting manner. Some years ago, I was involved in an enterprise that was faced with severe financial problems. When it seemed almost impossible to keep it going, my colleagues and I called a meeting. Attending was a woman who had once contributed a nice sum to our endeavor. We hoped that lightning might strike twice in the same place, but this time she said she would give us something of more value than money. She told us she was going to give us a creative idea. I must admit, we thought to ourselves unenthusiastically, how can we pay our bills with an idea? But as it turned out, an idea is precisely what helped us pay our bills. Every achievement in the world was first projected as a creative idea. First the idea, then faith in it, then the means of implementing the idea. That is the way success proceeds. What she told us was that we were lacking the resources we needed simply because we were thinking only in terms of lack. To correct the situation, she advised us to reverse the mental process and begin to think prosperity, achievement, success. Don't hold on to mental pictures of difficulties and failures. Don't think lack thoughts. Lift your mind above them and visualize powers and achievements. When you elevate your thoughts into the realm of attainment, you look down on your problems rather than up at them, and thus you get a more encouraging view. In our session, she told us to visualize the solution to our problem. Once we'd done this, she suggested that we pray and thank the Lord for giving us what we needed, as if the problem had already been overcome. At that, I remembered a verse in the Scriptures where it says, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive them." That means that when you pray for something, visualize what you pray for. Believe that if it is God's will and is not selfishly sought after, that it is at that moment given to you. If you have difficulty following this reasoning, let me assure you, from that moment on, our enterprise never lacked for anything. I tell this story because I was awed by the experience, realizing that I had stumbled upon a tremendous law of personal victory. I decided to apply it thereafter to my own problems, and whenever I've done so, I've had marvelous results. Whenever I've failed to do so, I've missed great results.
When you find yourself confronted by an obstacle, use this formula to help overcome it. 1. Put your problem in God's hands. In your thoughts, rise above the problem so you can look down on it, not up at it. 2. Test it according to God's will. That is, do not try to get success from something that is wrong. Be sure it is right morally, spiritually, and ethically. Then hold it up in God's name and visualize a great result. 3. Keep the ideas of prosperity, achievement, and attainment firmly fixed in your mind. Never entertain a failure thought. Should a negative idea of defeat come into your mind, expel it by increasing the positive affirmation. Affirm aloud, "God is now giving me success. He is giving me attainment." 4. Work diligently and effectively. You will be amazed at the way in which the mental vision you've created and firmly held in your mind will become a reality.
As you go about your life facing all the challenges it presents, I suggest that you begin using some of these techniques right away. Above all, practice living with God. Practice depending upon Him for His support and power. Believe He is giving it to you now, and don't get out of touch with that power. Yield yourself to it. Let it flow through you. Now here is a little prayer that I offer you. Repeat it before you must face a problem or difficulty. I assure you, it has brought astounding results to many, many people. I believe I am always divinely guided. I believe I will always take the right turn of the road. I believe that God will always make a way where there is no way. Thank you. I hope this will all be very helpful to you. And I sign myself your friend, Norman Vincent Peale.
The Power of Positive Thinking by Dr. Norman Vincent Peale was produced by Malou Zahner. Coordinating producer, Suzanne Rosencrantz. Engineering, field recording, and mix by Gary Fink. Audio adaptation by Mary Bruton. You have been listening to another in a series of Sound Ideas from Simon & Schuster. For a complete listing of other Simon & Schuster programs, please write to us at the address listed on the package.